supporting WHYY Penn Medicine, helping to find new cures for cancer. With life-saving clinical trials and advanced surgical techniques, Penn Medicine is offering more hope for patients everywhere. Learn more at PennMedicine.org/cancer. Penn Medicine, what's next?
A newly discovered planet points to the possibility of Earth-like conditions. Let's take a look on this episode of Sky Talk with Derek Pitts, chief astronomer at the Franklin Institute. Now, Derek, this potentially Earth-like planet is orbiting a decidedly not Sun-like star.
Decidedly non-Sun-like, you're right. This is an M-class star. M-class stars are the coolest stars of all. They typically don't even glow with luminescence, so it's hard to even see them. You need to use an infrared detector to identify their existence. And they also happen to be the most numerous stars that we find in a galaxy, M-class stars. But it seems that they do have planets. And in this case, it looks like there are three planets, one of which is more massive than Earth, and massive enough to possibly have a thick atmosphere that might make it conducive to the conditions for life.
How close is the planet to the star?
Oh, it's really close. It's about 19 million miles away, which is relatively close. We're about 93 million miles away on average, and it takes this planet, GJ357D, as it's known, about 55 days to orbit its star. Our year, of course, is 365 days, and this is just 55 days, so it's quite the dizzying ride.
But if this sun scarcely emits light, could there be photosynthesis on the planet?
There isn't very much light there at all, but at this incredibly close distance, it's receiving quite a bit of infrared radiation, so there's a lot of heat. Now, photosynthesis, I'm going to venture into a realm that's not really my forte and say questionable at best. Without that particular component of light, well, maybe we're talking about a different form of life. Perhaps, as we know, on Earth, there are life forms that have evolved to exist just fine in regions where there is no light. So we have heat. We have the right chemical compounds at this particular planet. Maybe without light, some form of life could form.
Let's hone in next on a second discovery. Of course, our solar system consists of the inner rocky planets and then the larger gas giants. This one seems to be something in between.
What's fun about looking at exoplanets is that we find all different stages of the formation of solar systems in progress. It's like we're doing snapshots all over the place of solar systems in various stages of formation. Here's a situation at this particular one, 260 light years away from Earth, where we find planets with the mass of Neptune. So this is bigger than Earth, smaller than Jupiter. We're sort of right in the middle of that range. And this planet is very close to its star, and I do mean close, about 1.5 million miles away. That's close. And at that distance, the temperature on the planet is about 3,100 degrees. But it's theorized that perhaps this planet formed much further out and has migrated in to be so close to its star, the result of which is that eventually that atmosphere is going to get stripped away one way or the other, either burned off or sucked off by the gravitational pull of the star, and we'll end up in that particular instance with just a rocky core.
Amazing that we can learn so much about planets of other stars that are so many light years away, yet we still have no real sense of what this dark matter is that comprises most of the stuff in our galaxy and universe.
What a tremendous mystery this is, that most of our universe is comprised of this material we are identifying as dark matter, yet we have no grip on what it is, as you said. So it certainly leads us down the path of trying to solve this big mystery. What is it? Some scientists have proposed the idea that dark matter is comprised of a very special kind of quark particle, a quark particle that can zip all over the universe without any problem at all. And another group of scientists has surmised that, well, if that's true, perhaps these particles are even zipping around in our solar system, maybe even up to, and since they would be small enough, maybe even through Earth. Wouldn't that mean that perhaps some of these particles are passing through us as we stand on the planet? If a particle like this passed through human tissue, the thought is it might be like a micro lightsaber kind of effect, where a zipping particle would bore through your inner tissue if the object were about 1 micrometer in size. That's 1,000 times smaller than a millimeter. It might burn a hole right through you, cauterizing it as it goes through, because the temperature as it went through might register at about 18 million degrees, of course, generated by its motion as it passes through.
Why don't we, with our time remaining, gaze upon the night sky? With clear skies, what's available to be seen this week?
We're right in the middle of the perfect time to see the giants of our solar system, Saturn and Jupiter. They straddle the Milky Way as you're looking toward the southern direction at about 9:30 in the evening. They look fabulous. If you have a telescope, get it out and use it to get a good look at these two. They look fabulous. We have a wonderful waxing crescent moon visible after sunset this week. But we've already lost 49 minutes of daylight, seeing that we are now at the beginning of August, past the summer solstice. August 1st, just a couple of days ago, that was the cross-quarter day between the first day of summer and the first day of autumn. So don't waste time. Get to the beach now.
Thanks, Derek.
My pleasure, Dave.
Derek Pitts, chief astronomer at the Franklin Institute. He joins us each week at this time on Sky Talk.